Blog Talk Radio.
That's the God we serve. I am so grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be a child of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Can you say it with me? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I am grateful that he loves me, that he cares for me, that he wants the best for me, that he intercedes for me every day. Do you believe in Jesus this morning? Do you believe? Hallelujah. I believe. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I'm grateful, grateful that he loves me. And that he is my Savior. Do you believe? Can you say, I believe, I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is my Savior. He is my friend. He is the one I adore. I believe. That's all I can say. It's in my spirit. I believe in Jesus. In Jesus. Can you say it with me? I believe in Jesus. And I know that he is the Son of God. And all I can say is hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are so worthy of the glory. You're worthy of the honor. You're worthy of the praise. You're worthy to be called Savior. You're worthy. You worthy, Lord, of all the praise that I give. You are worthy of the honor. You are worthy to be called Savior. You are worthy to be called Son of God. You are worthy, for you are Jesus, and you are the Son of God. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to be able to call on the name of Jesus without being ashamed, without being afraid, without being penalized. I call on the name of Jesus this morning. He woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. I am grateful. I am thankful. And I know that I am blessed to be a child of the Most High God. For he is great and greatly to be praised. Father God, this morning, I thank you for your Son. I thank you for my Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe that he is your Son. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe he sits on your right hand, interceding daily for each of us, for we all have sinned and fall short of your glory, Father God. I believe that he loves us. And he continues to love us. But I also believe he will come back again. And he will fight for us. He will take us home. Hallelujah. He will bring us through the narrow gate. I am believing in Jesus Christ. And Father God, as I read your word this morning, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my Father God and I am your humble child. Use me, Lord, for your glory. For your glory. In the name of my matchless Savior, my brother, my friend, my absolute everything, your son, my Savior Jesus Christ, it's in his name I pray, believing and trusting in your holy word. Lord God, may it add a blessing to those listening live and later. I ask you, Lord, to put your protection angels around your children as the enemy is busy. But Lord, we rebuke and bind all spirits of confusion today, that we will have great days. We will not go to work with attitudes, but we work for you. As Brother Jonathan preached yesterday, and as I say every day, it's time to go to work. Lord God, it's time for me to go to work, and I work for you. Father, I clock in, knowing that you, oh God, are my boss, and you are in charge of my life. And all I can say is thank you and amen. Family, it's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. We get so caught up in everything but God. Everything but God. We got to get caught up in God. We got to get caught up in the love of Jesus. We got to get caught up knowing who he is and what he stands for. Hallelujah. We want to be saved. We got to be saved. You know, I read a post yesterday, and I posted about my own situation, and it was dealing with the movie Fatherhood, which I actually watched last night. And honestly, I have to say it was probably Kevin Hart's best performance that I have ever in a movie I've ever seen him in. He was really, really good. And the little girl stole the movie. Whoever she was cute as a button and just stole it. Even the baby stole it. They were beautiful. And it was just a sweet and very real movie, and I loved it. But I did post on my Twitter account my story, my testimony, that when my youngest son was having difficulties in third grade because he had ADHD, and we, you know, I'm just being honest, we did not trust the school system. So we took him and had him tested at the University of Chicago. And I thank God, you know, that we were professionals and that we had resources to go to the University of Chicago. And he was diagnosed with ADHD. And every day we would get a phone call that he did this or he did that or he was disruptive or all these things. You know, and the last straw was one day my husband, who was a state trooper, he was a sergeant on the state police, got called after working. My son was basically a biohazard, that he had a bloody nose, and, you know, not saying how he got a bloody nose, but that he had a bloody nose. And my husband gets there with, you know, a clean shirt and to check on him to see what's going on. And he had, like, I would say if you took the ballpoint pen and put three dots, that was the blood on the shirt. My husband called a meeting, and the next thing we knew, he walked in, and he said, tell you what, since he's such an issue, I will start coming to school with him. And he did. He repeated the third and fourth grade. So our kid would not be put in special ed when he didn't need to be there as a quote-unquote behavior problem. Understand, I am retired from the prison, I guess you call it industrial system. I started in a sheriff's office and moved into the Department of Corrections of my state. And I tell you this, there is a prison, a school-to-prison pipeline, and it starts when they're little. And my husband and I said he will not be a statistic. He will not be a statistic. He will get through grammar school. He will get through high school, and he will get through college. And all of the above happened. But my husband, this man of God, awesome man, said, I'm going back to school. And he went and repeated the third and fourth grade. And I tell you this, because of his sacrifice, my son graduated from college debt-free. Not one dime does he owe anybody for his college education. He worked hard. Yes, it took him longer to get to school. But my husband passed away. My son worked hard to get through school, and he did it debt-free. But what we had to do was his best interest. We moved his school. We had a meeting with the superintendent. We had to go through a whole lot, but we moved him to a new school. And when he first got there, the word had come from his old school that he was a behavior problem. And his first teacher was acting like everything was him. And we knew it was the same kind of foolishness that had come from the other school. And we had a meeting with a wonderful principal that he had at his new school. And I shout out to the late David Kidd, a wonderful man who stood up for us and stood up for our child. And to Christy Mullinex, you will always rock in my book. She said, he's mine. I'll take him. And he got into her class. And you talk about a woman who taught a child, who gave my son love. She did not allow him to be marginalized and to be bullied. She worked with him. He won the spelling bee at his school and represented his school in a citywide spelling bee. And it was at his old school. So he had to go back to where he had all this trauma, where he had been picked on and bullied even by his principal. And guess what? He came out in third place. And the word that got him was riddle, conundrum. It was a conundrum. And they could not understand why this little boy that you tried to put in the trash came back and beat every one of his classmates that were there. Beat him. He beat the best speller in your school, who was his classmate. Outspelled them all until conundrum. But I tell you this, he knows how to spell it now because it was a riddle, him being there. But God. So don't tell me what our God cannot do. And I say to fathers out there, do what you're supposed to do. Be a dad to your kids. Don't be afraid to sacrifice for your children. And as we were sitting in classroom, my husband was the primary that went to the third and fourth grade. Occasionally, I would go when he had meetings or had things to do. I was on active duty for the military. I would be able to go. And I tell you this, and I thank my boss, Roger Walker, the late sheriff, director of Department of Corrections, Roger Walker, for allowing me to take off, to be able to be a parent to my son and to stay in his dad's stead when he couldn't make it. But I tell you this, We found out because we were in the classroom that my son had been picked on and that he had been lied on and that he had been made to be because the kids felt like they got accolades when they said he did something from those that were supposed to be protecting him. So I say to parents today, we've got to be in the school system. You've got to go to school with your kids. You got to let the teachers know that you are involved and that you will be there for your children. Because when they know that you're going to come up, they know you're going to check out things that are going on, and they know you are involved, parents, that you do attend the PTA meetings or the parent organization meetings, that you are there. And that whatever involves sports or whatever they're involved in, you are there. Did not miss a concert. Did not miss a football game. Did not miss anything they were involved in. And that's what you have to do, parents. Because God is involved in everything we do. He sent his son to this world for us. And the least we can do is love our children and be there for them. Hallelujah. I love God, and I love Jesus, who is the Son of God. And I am grateful that God was there with us through all, everything we went through for our sons, that they would graduate, that they would be successful men. And I thank God for all that he has done in my life. I thank God for my daughter, for my adopted daughter, who is a physician. And her story is miraculous. We all have our stories to tell. But I tell you this, love your children and be respectful to those that are in power in the school systems. Be respectful. Don't be the parents coming up cussing people out. There's many ways to accomplish what you need to accomplish by being professional. Because there are so many people that work so hard. And as again, I shout out to Christy Molinex and South Shore School and the late David Kidd, who have both my children involved in the community and in community activities. So I am grateful for those that did stand up and that were there for us. So I thank God for all things that he did and does in my life. So thank God, everyday family, for God is in charge of everything we do. And we have to believe in Jesus, who is the Son of God. Now let's get started in our word. But God put it on my heart to explain my tweet and why. But I say to all of you, thank you all for the likes that I'm getting. I appreciate you. And I appreciate that you are liking what my husband did. And I shout out every day. And thank God for my late husband, because he was an awesome man. He was an officer and a gentleman, and he was a great person. So shout out and lots of love. So let's get started, family, because I have to go to work. This is my assignment. We all have assignments from God, and this is mine, to read the word and teach the word of God. So let's get started. This morning, I've given my testimony, and I am thankful, I am grateful, and I'm truly blessed to be a child of God and to have had a strong-willed man of God as my husband and as the father of my children. So I am grateful, I am thankful, and I say it every day, I am blessed. I wake up every morning telling God, thank you. And that I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed. As I say to you, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. 1 Chronicles chapter 19 and 20, verse 8. And it says, and it happened after this that Nahash, The king of the people of Ammon died, and his son reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. So David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father, and David's servants came to Hanun in the land of the people of Ammon to comfort him. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Did his servants not come to you to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land? Therefore, Hanun took David's servants, shaved them, and cut off their garments in the middle of their buttocks and sent them away. Then some went and told David about the men, and he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return. Put a pin right there. Now you think about that. All your bottom is showing. You having a prince moment without it being prince. You showing all your behind, and you know how shameful that is. Yeah, we know that there are those that don't mind their pants hanging down to their knees and wondering why they can't walk. But that's not what this was about. This was being shamed because you were trying to be good and kind to somebody. Let's keep going. When the people of Ammon saw that David had made that they had made themselves repulsive to David, Hanun and the people of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire for themselves chariots and horsemen from Mesopotamia, from Syrian Mecca, and from Zobah. So they hired for themselves 32,000 chariots with the king of Mecca and his people who came in the camp before Medeba. Also the people of Ammon gathered together from their cities and came to battle. Now when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. Then the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle array before the gate of the city, and the kings who had come were for themselves in the field, were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, and they set themselves in battle array against the people of Ammon. When he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. But be of good courage, and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Pray. He prayed. That's prayer. He prayed before they went. He said, be of good courage, because the Lord told us to be strong and courageous. And that was not what God said, to be strong and courageous. So he was telling his people, be of good courage, and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. They didn't take credit for nothing. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Lord, you do what is good in your sight. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near for the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. When the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled before Abishai, his brother, and entered the city. So Joab sent to Jerusalem. Now when the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they sent messengers and brought the Syrians who were beyond the river and Shophak, the commander of Hadadezer's army, went before them. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel, crossed over the Jordan, and came upon them and set up in battle array against them. So when David had set up the battle array against the Syrians, they fought with him. Then the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed 7,000 charioteers and 40,000 foot soldiers of the Syrians and killed Shophak, the commander of the army. And when the servants of Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and became his servants. So the Syrians were not willing to help the people of Ammon anymore. It happened in the spring. This is chapter 20 of First Chronicles. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time kings go out to battle, that Joab led out the armed forces and ravaged the country of the people of Ammon. and came and besieged Rabbah, but David stayed at Jerusalem. And Joab defeated Rabbah and overthrew it. Then David took their king's crown from his head and to weigh a talent of gold, and there were precious stones in it, and it was set on David's head. Also, he brought out the spoils of the city in great abundance, and he brought out the people who were in it and put them to work with saws and iron picks and with axes. So David did to all the cities of the people of Ammon. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. Now it happened afterwards that war broke out at Gezer from the Philistines, at which time Shabbakai the Hushite killed Sippai, who was one of the sons of the giant, and they were subdued. Again, there was war with the Philistines, and Nilanan, the son of Jar, killed Lame, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. The shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again, there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature, with 24 fingers and toes, 6 on each hand and 6 on each foot. And he also was born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shammai, David's brother, killed him. So David and his cousin killed giants. These were born to the giants in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. And, you know, we think of the giants kind of metaphorical. No, they were real. I was watching History Channel, you know, some months ago, and there was just happened to be, because I like to watch it when they do biblical antiquity type of digs and they find things. And I might have even been on YouTube. I also saw some information about the giants. So if you are like one of those folks that like to look up stuff, look up the giants of antiquity, because I'm going to tell you something. They found skulls. They found footprints. They found all kind of artifacts that, yes, there were people on this planet that had, they were huge. They were huge. You know, we're talking 9 feet and above tall in length. We're talking huge, big, huge people. And I tell you something, they were not kidding when they said they were giants. God gave you in his word their measurements. And you think this through. 6 fingers on each hand, 6 toes on each foot. 24 in all. That's some crazy stuff. That you were like, oh, that's some sci-fi stuff. No, that's some real stuff. We better understand that what we think is amazing is stuff that has already happened. And God has put it in this basic instruction before leaving earth. All we have to do is read the word of God, and it will give you all kind of information. All you have to do is read it with an open mind. God is speaking today to each of us. Psalm 78, verses 26 through 33. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the sea, and he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. And again, this is coming from Exodus, where they were on their way to the promised land, whining, complaining, and grumbling. First, it was about bread. We don't have anything to eat. God sent manna from heaven. Then it was, we don't have any meat. God sent the fowl of the air, rained on them, made them sick because they was gorging and just not right. Stiff-necked, stubborn folks caused themselves to have to wander in the wilderness because they was just disobedient. And so history lesson is going on right here. And it goes on to say, so they ate and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They wanted meat. God gave them meat. Had everything they could eat. Then they complained and wanted water, which caused Moses not to make it into the promised land because he just got so fed up. Instead of speaking to the rock, he hit it. They got water, but it wasn't done in the right way and caused Moses his blessing. But I tell you this, they have not found Moses' body and they never will. All those out there trying to find it, you won't, because God has hid it very well. Just throwing it out there. And it goes on to say, so they ate and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving. But while their food was still in their mouth, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed with fertility and their years in fear. And Proverbs, our proverb for this morning is Proverbs chapter 19, verses 27 through 29. And it says, cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Gotta listen. It says, a disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. Wow. You name it, it is the word. And a Proverbs life lesson from Dr. Stanley. And it says this, Proverbs 19 and 27. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. And I love this, when I say Dr. Stanley, for those that are just joining, moving forward, we move forward through the Word of God. This is a Bible reading, Bible study blog and show. And I am coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. Our goal and my assignment for this year is to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. Every word, even the ones I can't pronounce, I still read every word, because the Word of God is so important that we must know it, because this is your weapon. This is where you fight the wiles of the enemy with. Even Jesus used the Word to fight the devil. And we have to use the Word as well. So we must stand on God's Word at all times and use it for the betterment of his kingdom. This is not about you and me, but about Jesus. For we know, again, he is the Son of God. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. So when I say life lessons, life examples, life questions, those are from Dr. Charles Stanley from this Bible, because this is a study Bible. And this is a study show. So we are studying from the Bible, and this happens to be the Bible that God put in my spirit to use for this year. And it says this, we must never stop learning. Not only do we forget lessons once learned, new lessons always lie ahead of us. Peter said, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them. And we're going to go real quick this morning over to 2 Peter chapter 1. So please join me in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse number 12. And this is when Peter is approaching death, and he wants to make sure that he gets that word out. But we're going to go actually up real quick to chapter 1, verse 10, and we're going to go all the way down to 15. And it says this, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so interest will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Actually, we'll go all the way back up to verse 5 and come down to 15 because it's so important. And it says this, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brother, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that surely I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And the things that he wanted to remind you is giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly love, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. We got to love each other. We got to care about each other. We got to know who we are. We are servants of the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ. So let us get into our word for this morning, which is coming out of Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. So I thank Dr. Stanley for that life lesson. And it says this, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of who does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Wow, what a word. And we got what the Bible says this morning, also from Dr. Stanley. But we have a couple of life lessons from this magnificent word. And I say again this morning that Jesus, I believe, I don't know about you, but I hope you believe with me, for we are all believers together, but I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what I believe. That's what I know. That's what I feel in the depths of my soul, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he is my Savior. I'm getting filled up because I know who I belong to. Hallelujah. I know who my daddy is. And I am thankful. I am grateful, and I am truly, truly blessed to be a child of the Most High God, who loves me, who cares about me, who wants the best for me, for I am his daughter. And I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. I know he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Y'all gonna make me shout this morning. This is that kind of word. I just feel it in the depths of my soul. I feel it in the depths of my soul. And I'm thankful. Hallelujah. And the word says, for life lesson, Acts chapter 8, verse 27. So he arose and went. Philip didn't waste time arguing with the angel of the Lord about why he should go. He simply obeyed. Have Philip demanded more details and spent time debating the wisdom of the command, he would have missed the opportunity to influence a high official of the Egyptian court. Immediate obedience is always necessary. That's why it's important to spend time alone with the Lord. When he calls you, you know his voice and can act directly. We don't have time to hem and haw. When my pastor asks me, I need you to teach, I need you to do whatever, I don't say, well, why do I? No, I just say, yes, ma'am. Because we should be ready in and out of season. Anytime you go anywhere, you should always have a word that you can preach. And it shouldn't be something you've already preached. That's why this word is so important. Every time I read the word of God, I learn something new. And every time you should be ministered to, you shall learn something new. And this is what the word of God says in Acts chapter 8. Verse 37, then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He wanted to be baptized. And I remember when I accepted this calling to be a minister, I felt I had to be baptized. I had not been baptized since I was a child at 9 years old and accepted the Lord as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I was sprinkled because I grew up in an AME church. I grew up under a different type of doctrine. I had never been submerged. And if I was, I was a little kid and didn't remember it. Because I remember going to the river when I used to go to church with my grandmother, who was Church of the Living God. She was Kojic. And I remember going to the river with my uncle, who was the bishop. And I remember that. But I was so small, I don't remember all that happened. But I do remember going to the river with folks dressed in white. I remember that. But I was sprinkled at 9, and I never was baptized again. But before I was able to accept this calling completely and totally, I had this absolute that I had to be baptized. I had to be born again, because the enemy was using my husband's birthday as a day to take me into bouts of depression and the why is me and the why is him and all those things that are not of God. And I realized it because I prayed about it and I asked God to guide me. And this is what God said, you must be baptized before you can accept your calling, before you can get that license, before you can move forward and preach that message, that true message that you got to preach. You have got to be baptized and you got to be born again. And I did. And I remember my pastor saying I glowed when I came up out of the water. I felt the anointing. I felt the presence of God that day. And I will never forget September 12, 2012 is when I went into the water. That was my birthday. That was my rebirth. That was my calling almost 10 years ago when I went in the water to be baptized. And I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I say this because this is what Dr. Stanley said. Philip made wholehearted belief in the resurrection of Christ a prerequisite for baptizing the Egyptian eunuch. In baptism, we identify with the death and resurrection of Christ and began a new way of living in his name. And we're going to go over really quick. I believe we do have time to go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 3. And we may go back up to verse 1, depending. Because I am a firm believer that things should be read in context. And if we go to verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin and grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that Jesus, as Christ, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And I'm going to go ahead and read verse 7. It says, for he who died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Hallelujah. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that he gave his life for me. And that when I was baptized, I died to sin and was raised again by grace. Hallelujah. That's my belief. And the word of God, as we continue, this is from Dr. Stanley. What the Bible says about baptism, some answers. And it says, at the time of Pentecost, a Christian named Philip had a conversation with a man from Ethiopia. Philip told his new friend the good news about Jesus Christ. Eventually, the Ethiopian said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip replied, if you believe with all your heart, You may. This passage raises several important questions. Excuse me. About the practice of baptism. And we bind that spirit trying to attack my voice, because it doesn't want you to know about baptism. But we bind it right now and send it back to the pits of hell in Jesus' name. I'm not coughing anymore. The power of the Lord is in this word, and we will not allow the enemy to try to come in with his sneaky self and say, oh, no, you don't need to talk about baptism. Yeah, we are. We're about to talk about baptism. Who should be baptized is the first question. Some might assume that anyone who wants to be a church member should be baptized. However, that's the wrong answer. In reality, only those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior should be baptized. A mere mental affirmation of Christ's existence is not enough. Rather, if we truly believe in Jesus, we must do something about it. We must confess, repent, and live in a new way. I had to repent. I had to confess. I had to believe before I went into that water. And it says, what is the proper method of baptism? Christians throughout the world recognize three methods of baptism. The first of these involves pouring the water over the head of the new believer. That was my first baptism. That's the way I was baptized. And it says the second involves sprinkling the water. The final method of baptism is the full immersion of the person into the water. The Greek word for pour and sprinkle are never used in the New Testament in reference to baptism. You know, I say I was sprinkled. You know, maybe it was poured. I just remember a little bit of water coming on my head. I was 9 years old. But this is what it says. But as we've read the word, I have never seen pour, and I've never seen sprinkle for baptism. And this is what it says, are never used in the New Testament in reference to baptism. Rather, the word for baptism comes from the Greek word that was used to describe things such as sinking ships. Romans 6:4 tells us we were buried with him through baptism. We just read that. We were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. That is why we baptize by immersion, because immersion must closely represent the meaning of baptism. The most vivid symbolizes the resurrection of Christ. Number three, what is the meaning of baptism? As stated before, the procedure of momentarily being immersed and being lifted presents a simple picture of the actions of Jesus himself. He was killed, buried, and resurrected from death. When we trust him as our Savior, we die to the old life and are raised to walk in newness of life in him. It also suggests that one day we will rise from death itself to live eternally in heaven. Number four, what is the proper time for baptism? When the Holy Spirit empowered the church at Pentecost, we know that Peter preached the gospel that those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, which we have read. In other words, as soon as the people believed in Christ, they were candidates for baptism. Philip's Ethiopian friend was baptized without delay as well. As a general rule, the time for baptism is immediately after conversion. When we procrastinate in following this command, we break the commitment we made to follow Christ. Surrendering our life to him, obedience should never be delayed. Number five, what is the relationship of baptism to salvation? The Word of God does not teach that baptism is a requirement for salvation, nor that the act itself saves us. In fact, the thief on the cross beside Jesus was saved without baptism. The clear and consistent teaching of Scripture is that we are saved through the grace of God when we believe in Christ as our Savior. Rather, baptism is our obedient response to Christ in thankfulness for our salvation. Why should we be baptized? The first reason we should be baptized is that Jesus commanded it, Matthew 28:19. Second, Jesus was baptized and we should follow his example, Romans 8:29. Third, baptism is a picture of the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Romans 6:4, which we've read. It serves as an encouragement to believers and testimony to non-believers. Fourth, it is also a picture of our experience in salvation, that of dying to the old sinful self, rising to walk in the new life of the Holy Spirit. Fifth, baptism identifies us with the body of Christ. Finally, baptism declares our faith in a future bodily resurrection. For all these reasons, Christian baptism is a joy, a privilege, and a pleasure for the children of God. Can we all say together, amen? Before we get out of here this morning, some words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I do apologize because I have not had Sister Carolyn's word on for a minute. So we're going to go back to Friday's word because I did an earlier show on Friday. So we missed out for Sister Carolyn. So I want to make sure I get it in. And it says this, good morning. This is Friday's word. God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. And I say, again, a word for this morning. That's from our Old Testament. God will give you strength for every battle. Did he not give Joash strength for his battle? And I'm sorry, I'm not pronouncing his name right. But he gave him strength. He said, told him, okay, you're going to have to go out and do your job. But he prayed. Understand, when he talked to God and asked for what he was supposed to do, he said, for God, Joab, I'm sorry, said, be of good courage. Again, God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. David was trying to be kind to the new king of Ammon, but he listened to everybody else. That's the if it was me crowd. Got them all messed up and got them attacked and defeated. And let's go to Saturday's word. The joy is the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is a product of God's presence. Let's declare the joy of the Lord today. Oh, what a word. Yesterday, good morning. He who needs in the word wisely will find. Who needs in the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 16:20. And for today, don't confuse your mistakes for your value as a person. Put your trust in God. He doesn't make mistakes. Have a motivated Monday. And again, family, join with me and just repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And we got to keep that in our spirit, in our mind, and in every part of our being. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I thank you this morning for listening in. I thank you for joining me this morning. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Keep your testimony on your lips. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.